This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad. Welcome to In Person with Dina Marie, a daily walk with Christ, our Blessed Mother, and the saints in our everyday lives. Guests include priests, religious, husbands and wives, sons and daughters, missionaries, authors, speakers, evangelists, and you. Explore the joy of the gospel as we share stories from the heart and how to navigate our journey of faith day by day. And now, In Person with Dina Marie on Mater Dei Radio.
Welcome to another edition of our in-person series. I'm your host, Dina Marie, and it is a pleasure and an absolute privilege to spend some time with you in the morning commute. Maybe you're catching this as a broadcast in the evening or as a podcast. We welcome you to this broadcast and invite the Holy Spirit to work through our words. They're not our words. They're really our Lord's words as He calls us and commissions us to go on out to all the world and to share the good news. The good news, the gospel, the message of Jesus Christ. And as we come together here at our ladies' radio stations, K Blessed Virgin Mary and K Mary, Mother of the Eucharist, under the mantle of Mater Dei Radio, we pray that this will be a message of inspiration and also of encouragement for you to go on out and to live that gospel message of hope into the world. I'm really looking forward to this hour together. We had a last-minute notice from a local parish, St. Cecilia Catholic Church in Beaverton, that they were bringing Dr. John Bergsma to their area for a special program. That program is this upcoming Saturday, October 8th at 9:30 in the morning, Inspirational Parish Mission with Dr. Bergsma. We've had Dr. Bergsma on the program before. A couple of the books that I have from Ave Maria Press are Bible Basics for Catholics and the New Testament Basics for Catholics. And I know many parishes, including St. Cecilia, have been working with the works of Dr. Bergsma on many different teachings of the Bible. He is a full professor of theology at Franciscan University in Steubenville, Ohio, and holds several different degrees, one from Calvin Seminary in Grand Rapids, has been a Protestant pastor for several years, came into the Catholic Church in 2001 as he was, studying in theology at the University of Notre Dame. Boy, Our Lady sure got him there at Notre Dame, and he's been specializing in Old Testament and the Dead Sea Scrolls. In fact, that's some of what he's going to be bringing to this weekend's focus. Graduated with high honors in 2004 and has been working continually now with young people, I love this, at Franciscan University, and you have an opportunity to meet him in person at St. Cecilia's this weekend. So I'm grateful that he's able to spend some time with us here at Mater Dei Radio. Dr. Bergsma, thanks for coming back on the program, and welcome back during October.
Yes, great to be with you, Dina Marie.
Well, we have so many things to share, and you know, you did make that journey from the Protestant world into the Catholic Church in the early 2000s, and I know we talked a little bit about that the last time you were on the program, but I think it's so appropriate as we talk about the Bible and so many people who are converts. I'm a convert myself. You know, we sometimes say we read our way into the Catholic Church. Can you share with us a couple of highlights as you were doing further studies, and you were there at the University of Notre Dame? What really hit you that led you to cross that Tiber?
Yes, a number of different things, Dina Marie, and there's so many different aspects to it, but one thing that comes to mind was the personal witness of a friend of mine at the University of Notre Dame who impressed me as a Catholic who really knew his scripture. And I'll just give an illustration of this. One time we were having lunch, and I was running my Protestant objections against the Catholic faith against my friend Michael, who was this devout Catholic. And I challenged him to give me any biblical support for the idea that the Blessed Mother is the Queen of Heaven. Mm. You know, where do you get this in Scripture, Mary is Queen of Heaven? And I thought that there was absolutely nothing that he could point to. But he didn't even miss a beat, and he immediately said, what about Revelation 12? And that was a chapter I had not read for a long time and really hadn't thought of ever as pertaining to the Blessed Mother. But then he got out his New Testament, and he carried a New Testament with him, which I think was a great witness as a Catholic. And he turned right there, and we looked at that passage with the woman in the heavens, clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet and the crown of 12 stars. And she gives birth to, obviously, the Messiah. And so my friend Mike just challenged me and said, you know, we only know one other woman in the Scriptures who gives birth to Messiah. So how can we deny that this passage might refer to her in some way? And that was really eye-opening for me because I thought that all the Marian doctrines were really things that were later inventions, and it never occurred to me that they might be in Scripture themselves. So that wasn't yet my conversion point, but that was a real turning point, Dina, when God opened up my eyes that Catholic faith, the Catholic truth really was in the Scriptures.
Mm-hmm. Was there something that happened at the University of Notre Dame? I mean, being at a location of a university that's really under the mantle of Our Lady, that helped you in that real formation and that journey into the Catholic Church?
Oh, there are many things. I think that many of the graduate students there were really wonderful witnesses of the Catholic faith. They were able to explain their beliefs, as I mentioned, able to back them up from Scripture, and then they were really living it out. And I think that everyone needs to see someone living out the Catholic faith before they make that decision to follow it for themselves. But I definitely felt the presence of the Blessed Mother there. Even as a Protestant, I was uncomfortable with the Blessed Mother, but on the other hand, I noticed that the Catholics who had the most devotion to her were also people of prayer and people of virtue, and I could see the glow of the Holy Spirit in their lives. And so I thought to myself, you know what, this devotion to Mary can't be all bad, because I noticed that the Catholics who had the best devotion to her also are most devoted to Jesus, and are showing the signs of the Holy Spirit. And so that was an encouragement to me and helped me to get past some of my, you know, Protestant discomfort with our mother. But really, Dina Marie, it was Scripture, but then it was getting into the Church Fathers. And when my friend Michael got me to read the Apostolic Fathers, especially Ignatius of Antioch, one of the earliest, a church father who knew the Apostle John, had living contact with that apostle. And when I read his writings and saw how much he stressed that that if you deny that the Eucharist is the very body of Jesus, you have really set yourself apart from the true church. And when I read his strong commitment to the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist, and when I realized that he was getting this from the Apostle John, whom he knew, that really changed my mind. And when I went back into the New Testament and looked at all the Eucharistic passages and saw that their plain meaning really was that the Eucharist is the body of Jesus, I became convinced that that indeed was the original Christian teaching, the original teaching of our Lord and the Apostles. And since only the Catholic Church was faithful to that teaching of the real presence, I was convicted I really needed to become Catholic myself.
Mm. We're on the line this morning with Dr. John Bergsma. He is a professor of theology at Franciscan University of Steubenville. He'll be coming to St. Cecilia's Catholic Church in Beaverton, and you can register for this parish mission by contacting the parish. That will be on Saturday, October 8th at 9:30 in the morning. So do contact the parish office directly. There's information on our website about this event. Dr. Bergsma, I want to ask you a little bit about, you talked a little bit about Mary. What about the communion of saints? That sometimes seems to be a stumbling block for some Protestants coming into the Catholic Church. What's that role of saints and praying to or with saints? Did you have any of that as you were starting to come closer into the Catholic Church?
Sure. I had, you know, some discomfort with that, but at the same time, that wasn't the hardest thing for me to get past, because my Catholic friends explained to me that if we really believe that the saints are in heaven and they're not dead, then if they're living there in heaven, and if we're united by the Holy Spirit, then we ought to be able to communicate to them through the Holy Spirit and ask for their intercessions. And then some Catholics showed me, excuse me, from the book of Revelation, excuse me, where we see the souls in heaven under the altar of God in the book of Revelation, where they're crying out and they're praying to God after their physical deaths, when they're waiting for the resurrection of their bodies. And so we see that picture even in Scripture itself of saints who've gone to heaven and are waiting the final judgment, but are still praying and crying out to God. And that pretty much allayed my fears that this was not a, you know, that this was not a good thing. And I saw how that made sense, that if we really trust that that these holy people have gone to be with Jesus, then they're still alive and that they can still pray for us. And it's like to pray to the saints, or it's better said, to ask for the intercessions of the saints, we're really testifying to our belief in the resurrection.
So true. Dr. Bergsma with us. And in fact, you can go onto his website. I think it's johnbergsma.com. A lot of information about the various books and resources you have, and then coming out to St. Cecilia's in Beaverton this Saturday morning. Share with us a little bit about the sacramental life and your view of coming into the full sacraments. Of course, the number one, the Holy Eucharist, reconciliation, confession. How was that as you were learning more about these sacraments in the church and what that meant for you?
Well, we didn't in my background as a Protestant, we really didn't have anything that we thought of as a sacrament. Because as I came to understand, as Catholics, we believe the sacraments are really things that God does to you through the rite. You know, God gives you the Holy Spirit in baptism, and He communicates His presence to you through the Eucharist. And for us, when we did things like baptism or what we called the Lord's Supper, it was just symbolic. It was our public profession of faith. It was not something that God was doing to us through that ritual. And so it took me a while to understand really what a sacrament was. But then having it explained to me and then seeing it in the Church Fathers, really I found very persuasive. And then I found the sacraments really attractive as well, Dina Marie. I mean, I was drawn by them. I'll just mention, for example, confession. Mm-hmm. As a Protestant pastor, I had been involved in deliverance ministry and had seen how encouraging people to confess their sins in the presence of other Christians, other mature Christians, had a liberating effect and was able to free them from various forms of spiritual bondage, even more effective than things like a formal exorcism. And so I'd seen that liberating power that being able to confess your sins in a prayerful atmosphere in the presence of other believers really had that effect on your life. And so when confession was explained to me, I suddenly realized that the sacrament of confession is this ministry of deliverance. It's like the front lines of spiritual warfare that the church offers us. And I was really attracted to that. I wanted to be able to have regular recourse to that sacrament so that I could be spiritually liberated and really get past some of the addictions and binding sins that were in my life so I could really become holy. And so, confession along with the Eucharist, you know, became these magnets that were drawing me into the church.
Right. Dr. John Bergsma with us. johnbergsma.com is the website, and several books, two of them from Ave Maria Press, I would encourage you to get a hold of. One is Bible Basics for Catholics, and the one in my hands right now, the New Testament Basics for Catholics. And I know that St. Cecilia Parish has been emailing me over the last year or so working on some of the different Bible studies, Doctor, that you've been able to put together, and now they're bringing you out next weekend, this Saturday, the 8th of October, to continue the studies and to focus particularly on the Dead Sea Scrolls and the Book of Psalms. One other thing I want to ask before we take our break is a little bit about studying Scripture and the devotional life. And I think sometimes when people look at devotions, they think, well, you know, that's just, you need to have the intellectual life and you need to have that serious study. But where is the balance between the study of the church but also devotional prayer in our daily lives?
Yes. Well, you know, I think a great saint for that topic, Dina Marie, was St. Jose Maria Escrivá. He's founded Opus Dei, the prelature that offers spiritual direction and guidance to lay people throughout the church. And he's a saint that I've been following for quite some time and often read his works. And he emphasized that we do need that intellectual formation and that studying the faith and, you know, the dogmas and things like reading through the catechism, for example, those are very important. But then there has to be this heartbeat of prayer that guides our daily life. And one of the things that St. Jose Maria really encouraged lay Catholics to do is to carry a New Testament with them. And this is something that Pope Francis has also encouraged us to do. And then just read for a few minutes each day from that. And it doesn't have to be much. You know, it can be 3-5 minutes, something like that, where we just read and a couple of, you know, a chapter or a couple of, you know, paragraphs out of the New Testament, and then just mark that and start up there the following day and just carry that Bible with us. And maybe in odd moments when we're waiting for a bus or sitting in a shopping line or something like that, we can pull out that New Testament and read a little bit and think about it. It's not so much getting through a lot of it, Dina Marie, as kind of chewing on it and letting it soak into us. And one of the things that St. Jose Maria liked to do was to read these accounts in the Gospels of Jesus' life and then be a fly on the wall in the scene. So if he was reading about the healing of the paralytic let down from the roof, for example, he'd try to put himself into the scene and imagine that and talk to our Lord during that. And he found that very fruitful for his prayer. And it's something that we can do too.
Yeah. Again, that meditation, that Lectio Divina, having that, I always think of it as a movie. If you're in that movie of that scene and that scripture, where are you? And we get to be different people in those scenes, depending on where we are in our journey of life. And maybe to say, if I was that leper, what would I feel like if Jesus just healed me? Would I go back and rush back and say thank you? Or would I just keep going on my way? And so there's a challenge in daily reading and, as you said, chewing the Gospels and the New Testament. Dr. John Bergsma with us. You can visit him online at johnbergsma.com. That's BERGSMA.com. If you'd like to meet him in person, please visit our friends at St. Cecilia's Catholic Church in Beaverton. They're bringing him out next Saturday, the 8th of October, to discuss the Dead Sea Scrolls and the Book of the Psalms. More information can be found by contacting the parish or visiting our website at materdeiradio.com. I'm Dina Marie, your host of In Person. We'll be back with Dr. Bergsma in just a few moments.
A great way to support Mater Dei Radio is through our Leadership Circle. These are businesses and organizations whose names you hear on the air every day. They believe in our mission of providing the region with positive Catholic radio programs of faith and hope. Simply put, our Leadership Circle members keep our broadcast strong through their financial generosity. If you run a business or organization, please join us. We need you. Information on our Leadership Circle at materdeiradio.com.
Celebrate a full day witnessing the Father's mercy at the Archdiocesan Catechetical Conference, Saturday, October 15th at the University of Portland. Form your faith for the Year of Mercy through Eucharistic Adoration, Vigil Mass with Archbishop Alexander Sample, lunch and talks from Dr. Petrock Willie of Franciscan University of Steubenville, the Nashville Dominican Sisters, Bishop Peter Smith, and Hector Molina.
Ignorance of Scripture is ignorance of Christ. Why? Because through the sacred Scriptures, Christ is revealed to us. And we come to encounter Christ, who is revealed through sacred Scripture. And so to ignore the sacred Scriptures is equivalent to ignoring the very person of Christ.
Witnessing the Father's Mercy at the Archdiocesan Catechetical Conference, Saturday, October 15th at the University of Portland. You'll be inspired by a full day of faith formation and witnessing the Father's Mercy. Visit formation.archdpdx.org to register.
Hello, this is Emily Jaminet with a Mother's Moment. The other day, I was walking back from Holy Communion with my little boy, and all of a sudden, he took off in a very brisk walk. He was heading right to the stained glass window of the Stations of the Cross, in which Christ was being hung on the cross by the soldiers. The station was at waist level, and as he bent down low, he studied it intensely. Then he asked the ageless question to me, "Why did these bad men hurt Jesus?" In that moment, I felt my heart leap as I witnessed my son enter into the station. How many times do we walk by the Stations of the Cross in our church and not even look at the story that they are desperately trying to tell us? How often is our Lord trying to pull on our hearts and take time out for us to ponder this great mystery? It has been suggested that if we are busy, just take one station every day, and then in 2 weeks, we will have entered into the entire Passion. As mothers, we need to remember to get the spiritual fuel that we need to keep us going, like meditating on the Stations of the Cross. Let us pray. Dear Jesus, please give us eyes to see your suffering and a heart that desires to love you more. Amen. May we be the light to the world by taking time out to meditate on the Stations of the Cross.
Mater Dei Radio is partnering with the Catholic Sentinel and the Archdiocese of Portland for our Faithful Citizenship Initiative. On the air, online, and in print, we'll help you navigate through all of the politics and spin to the essentials of living out your Catholic faith in the public square. Election Day is coming soon, Tuesday, November 8th. Be ready and form your conscience with the Faithful Citizenship Initiative from the Catholic Sentinel, the Archdiocese of Portland, and Mater Dei Radio.
Welcome back to our in-person series, heard weekday mornings at this time. Also, we encore the program weekday evenings at 8 p.m., and you can tune into our past programs on our website, materdeiradio.com. Go to the programming page, and all of our locally produced programs, including in-person and our morning show guests, are all available for you on the website. Visit us on Facebook often as we enter into our Fall Share-a-thon 2016. Going to put a lot of information, a lot of pictures, and a lot of encouraging messages, so do hop on often, Mater Dei Radio. Dr. John Bergsma is with us. He serves as professor of theology at Franciscan University. A lot of people here in this local community, in fact, some of those who are in our archdiocesan staff, have come through Franciscan University, so it's so exciting to see the work that's being done right there on the campus and really empowering young men and women to live out their Catholic faith in a very strong way. Doctor, I want to have you share a little bit about this book, New Testament Basics for Catholics, and just give us a little sense of why you wrote the book and who is this particular book intended for.
That's a great question, Dina Marie. My first book, you know, was Bible Basics for Catholics, which was about 150 pages or so, and using stick figures and a really lighthearted approach, I tried to introduce people to the Bible for those who are beginners and even those who've read the Bible for a while but have trouble getting the big picture of it, which I certainly did. I was in my, almost through my doctoral program in Scripture, Dina Marie, before I really saw how Scripture fit together. And when I did, I was like, why didn't somebody show this to me at the beginning rather than, you know, all this years of formal schooling before it really came to coalesce for me, gelled in my mind, so to speak. But then, after getting oriented to Scripture, I thought it would really be good to go deeper into the New Testament, and so that's why I wrote New Testament Basics for Catholics. That was to look at the New Testament much more closely, and in my first book, I just had two chapters on the New Testament, and this is an entire book on it. And, even the New Testament itself, it can be overwhelming to people because there's 27 books and 8 different authors and a lot of complicated things going on in parts of the New Testament. And so I thought, how can we keep this simple so we can grasp it in our minds? And I really found that if you just think about 4 authors, Matthew and Luke and St. Paul and St. John, those 4 men give us almost 90% of the New Testament. And so if we're trying to keep things simple, if we can just focus on those 4 and get their main message, we have the vast majority of the New Testament will come together for us. And so that's how the book is divided into basically 4 parts with each of those 4 authors looking at their writings and trying to understand them well.
Right. How are people using this book if they're using this at a parish level or in a group study? I know people like the St. Cecilia's team that's bringing you out. What are some ways that you really think will be helpful to move through this book so it really does take effect in our lives?
Sure. I think the most effective way is to read the book in tandem with reading the Bible itself. Mm-hmm. And so if you begin a journey, you're going to read about 8 books of the Bible. We read Matthew, Luke, and Acts, Romans, the Gospel of John, and then the book of Revelation. And we concentrate on those. I lost count there. I'm not good with math. But those books there are the ones that are mostly covered in New Testament Basics. And so if you read what I have to say in each chapter on these 4 different authors, and then you're also reading through the New Testament yourself, kind of devotionally, I think it can have a real powerful impact, Dina Marie. There's a lot of things going on in the New Testament that are just a little bit out of reach of modern readers because we're not familiar with some of the customs of those ancient times. And with just a few hints and clues, we can make it all the way to really getting the powerful impact of some of the stories and some of the teachings that are in the New Testament. And that's what my book tries to do. And I also use my stick figures to capture and convey some of the main concepts of the New Testament. So I'll do a little stick figure diagram of the four major authors, for example, with little features on them that help us to remember who's who. And I find that that little simple visual examples help us to remember and also to teach to others the concepts that we get out of the Bible.
Right. Again, we're talking with Dr. John Bergsma. His book, New Testament Basics for Catholics, came after the Bible Basics for Catholics. Maybe some of you have already gotten through that first one, Bible Basics for Catholics. Here's number two. And Scott Hahn, one of the many who have really given great thumbs up for this book, says there's no better introduction to the New Testament than the New Testament Basics for Catholics. This book is clear and simple, but it runs deep. And I think that's such a key for what you're trying to do for us, is to go deeper into the scriptures. Take us through a little bit of those first four books of the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We just want to start there in getting an idea of what is the message that we're trying to get from the teachings of Jesus Christ through the eyes of these men?
Yeah, that's wonderful. There's different ways that we can approach that, Dina Marie, but I think that one way is to really focus on the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one thing that was powerful in my own life, Dina Marie, was doing evangelism myself. And I was a Protestant pastor, and I would knock on people's doors, and I would share, you know, the gospel. And what do you do when you share the gospel with people? How do you encapsulate it? How do you sum it up briefly? And I used to focus on accepting Jesus as Lord and personal Savior, and that's good, that's fine. But when I looked in the Bible, what I actually found was that when Jesus preached the gospel, he preached about the kingdom of God. And in fact, his opening message, when we read almost any of the Gospels, is really, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And so it's the coming of the kingdom, and that is really the powerful theme of the New Testament. But then what do we mean by the kingdom? And what we find out is that there's different senses of the kingdom. The kingdom is Jesus, but it's also Jesus' body, which is the church. And coming to understand that the church is the visible part of the kingdom that's on earth, that was really mind-blowing for me in my own journey, and helped me to understand the riches of the Catholic Church. Because when we look at the structure of the Catholic Church, we see it really is like a kingdom with the steward of the king, the Pope. The Pope is the steward of Christ, you know, ruling on Christ's behalf visibly, and the officers being the bishops around the world. And we see that kind of kingdom structure to the church, and that's really because the church is the visible form of God's kingdom on earth. But getting back to your question, Dean and Marie, and these first four books, these Gospels of the New Testament, Matthew really emphasizes that the kingdom has come in Jesus, and St. Mark takes that same message, but he simplifies it for Roman readers. St. Matthew was writing to Jews who could understand more because they had the scriptures, and Mark is shorter because he's writing to people that didn't have familiarity with the scriptures afterwards, but it's largely the same message as St. Matthew. And then Luke is also writing to a non-Jewish audience. He's writing to a very educated Greek audience. And he shows us the kingdom growing in Jesus' ministry, but then he gives us that wonderful sequel to his gospel that we call the Book of Acts. And that's where we see the kingdom blossoming, you know, just becoming a beautiful tree that's starting to fill the whole earth, as it were. And so many of the early stories of the church are there. And then St. John is a more meditative gospel, which is also concerned about the kingdom of God. But St. John brings us more internally and helps us to discover that kingdom inside of us, where Christ is dwelling in us, and that each of us is the kingdom of God in miniature in our souls, especially through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. So they're all about the kingdom, but they show us different aspects of it.
Mm-hmm. With us on the line, Dr. John Bergsma, and we're talking a little bit about his book, New Testament Basics for Catholics, which is published through Ave Maria Press. You can get it through them or through his website at johnbergsma.com. And as we hear the next book, which is the Acts, and I just love the Acts of the Apostles, and I just get excited every time I just start that first chapter, which is pretty powerful. If we just go back and start reading verse by verse, it is potent. Give us a sense of what we learn about being a disciple through the books in the New Testament, particularly by all of these written by St. Paul.
Sure. There's so much that we learn about being a disciple through St. Paul and through the others. But for St. Paul, you know, I really feel that the heart of St. Paul's thought is in Romans chapter 8, where it seems to me that just the whole of the Christian faith is summed up. And that's a beautiful chapter where St. Paul talks about the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And you know, Dina Marie, that in my background in Protestantism, we were very caught up with how a person is justified. You know, are you justified by faith? Are you justified by works? Is it a combination of the two? And there are arguments with Catholics and even arguments amongst Protestants themselves about it. But what I love about Romans chapter 8 and the way that St. Paul encapsulates his teaching there is that he doesn't focus so much on those legal questions of, you know, what exactly it is that justifies you, but he really focuses just on the presence of the Spirit and our need to have the Spirit of Christ dwelling in us. And I'm just going to read a little bit of St. Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 8, where he says, to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. And that kind of sums up, in a way, the Christian life right there. What is it that we are freed from? We're freed from sin. See, so often when we talk about Jesus saving us, we think of Jesus saving us from the consequences of sin, which is death and hell. And we want to be saved from those consequences. But Jesus doesn't want to just save us from the consequences of sin. He wants to save us from sin itself. And that means that we actually stop sinning and we start living according to the Spirit, not according to the flesh. And St. Paul tells us that if our minds are focused on the Spirit, we can really have that victory and really live lives of holiness. And that means meditating and praying to and contemplating the Spirit and the Father and the Son throughout our daily lives, trying to keep that, what the saints call, total abandonment to God or the presence of God throughout our daily lives. And that's really key to living and growing in the Christian life.
Mm. We're continuing to live and grow in the Christian life here at Mater Dei Radio. Great to have Dr. John Bergsma with us over at Franciscan University. He'll be at St. Cecilia Catholic Church in the Beaverton area this Saturday, October 8th at 9:30 in the morning. But you do need to RSVP to get a hold of the materials and to register by contacting the church. So I'd encourage you to do that right now and get a hold of them. Doctor, I want to ask you a little bit about, as we daily have the opportunity in the Catholic Church, for those who have the opportunity to go to daily Mass, the liturgies are available every day, whether we access it on our phone, whether we can get to a church every day for daily Mass. But can you give us a little sense of the flow of the liturgy of the church and the scriptures in the church through the liturgical year that really have a way of teaching and bringing continuity into our prayer life and in the liturgical sense of the church?
Yes, absolutely. And that was one of the beautiful discoveries of mine coming from being a Protestant pastor into the Catholic Church, was the discovery of this rhythm of prayer that guides the year, Dina Marie, and you've had this experience too. It's so beautiful because what the liturgy does is take us through the life of Christ from December to November every year, and it's just so beautiful to go through those events and relive those events with Jesus on an annual basis. So obviously we begin in December in the season of Advent, where we prepare for the birth of Christ by meditating on the Old Testament prophecies of his first coming, and then reading those infancy narratives from Matthew and Luke about the childhood of our Lord. And we celebrate that in the Lord's early life and his baptism, of course. And then after the baptism, we have a short interlude where we think about our Lord's early ministries. And then we're into Lent, where we begin with our Lord's temptation in the wilderness, and then the beginning of his preaching. And we kind of live through, again, some of his ministry and then his passion, obviously, as we get to the end of Lent into Easter. We relive the final chapters of all of the Gospels. About a quarter of each Gospel is just dedicated to 1 week of Jesus' life, and that's Passion Week. It's so important for us. And so in Lent and then into Holy Week itself, we meditate on our Lord's death and his suffering, and then, of course, his resurrection. And then in the season of Easter, we really spend a lot of time in the Gospel of John thinking about our Lord's teaching on the Holy Spirit until we come to Pentecost, and then that brings us into the book of Acts. The beginning of Acts is with Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. And then we read about the growth of the church in the book of Acts. And then we head back into ordinary time after Pentecost. And it's not that ordinary time is a letdown, but rather, you know, having gone through Easter, the Easter season and Pentecost, we're supposed to like be hurled out into ordinary time like a cannonball coming out of the cannon. And we head out with vigor into ordinary time, where we reread our Lord's ministry, see how he fulfilled the Old Testament, until we come to the month of November, which is really dedicated to thinking about the last things. And that's where we spend about a month. And we're close to that right now. We're getting close. We spend about a month just thinking about death and judgment and heaven and purgatory, hell, you know, where we're going to end up in eternity. And we try to have that final examination of conscience for our whole year, so that we can be assured that we can face Christ with a clean conscience when he returns in glory. And we celebrate that with the Feast of Christ the King at the end of the liturgical year. So really make the whole cycle from his birth to his second coming in the course of a year, and it's wonderful to review these things on an annual basis.
You're in tune to In Person. Our guest today by phone, Dr. John Bergsma. We're catching him on the line at Franciscan University of Steubenville. He'll be coming to Beaverton, Oregon in just a couple of days, October 8th. Thanks to the invitation by St. Cecilia Catholic Church. You can contact them for the information about the inspirational parish mission that they will be offering this weekend with Dr. John Bergsma. I'm Dina Marie, your host of In Person. We'll finish up our visit this morning with Dr. in just a couple of moments here on Mater Dei Radio. Do stay with us.
Support for Mater Dei Radio comes from Leadership Circle member Catholic cemeteries, including Mount Calvary in Portland, Gethsemane in Happy Valley, and Mount Calvary in Eugene. Operated by the Archdiocese of Portland since 1888, Catholic cemeteries provide full-service, prearranged burial plans for families. Details on special masses and events at ccpdxor.com or 503-292-6621.
This is Saint of the Day for October 3rd from the Franciscans and St. Anthony Messenger Press. Today we celebrate Blessed Mother Theodore Guérin. Trust in God's providence enabled Mother Theodore to leave her homeland in France, sail halfway around the world, and found a new religious congregation. Nothing deterred her from pursuing her dreams, including the murder of her father when she was only 15 and lifelong struggles with poor health. She entered the Sisters of Providence in 1823 and took the name of Sister Saint Theodore. At the invitation of a bishop in the far-off USA, she led a small band of sisters to Saint Mary of the Woods, Indiana. There, she established a mother house and novitiate and worked among the pioneers who had settled in the western part of the state. Mother Theodore and her community persevered despite fires, crop failure, prejudice against Catholic women religious, misunderstandings, and separation from their original religious congregation. She once advised her sisters, "Have confidence in the providence that so far has never failed us. The way is not yet clear. Grope along slowly. Do not press matters. Be patient, be trustful." At her death in 1856, Mother Theodore had established schools throughout Indiana. This includes St. Mary of the Woods College, the oldest Catholic liberal arts college in the country. She was beatified in 1998. There's more about the saints, along with inspiration and Catholic resources, at our website, franciscanradio.org. From the Franciscans and St. Anthony Messenger Press, this is Saint of the Day.
Mater Dei Radio, building the bridge of mercy through the Holy Rosary with our Fall Share-a-thon 2016. Here's Father Theodore Lang, State Chaplain of the Oregon Knights of Columbus, on the power of Catholic Radio.
Catholic Radio can serve as food for the journey. It provides an opportunity for us to learn of our faith, to be renewed by hearing the truth, and by restoring our strength. So it's a part of fighting for freedom within ourselves, but then to actively respond to creating a Catholic culture of life, peace, love, mercy, hope, joy. Catholic Radio is crucial for keeping our knife sharp.
Sharpen your faith with Mater Dei Radio. Join Father Theodore Lang and the Oregon Knights of Columbus as we build the Bridge of Mercy through the Holy Rosary during our Fall Share-a-thon 2016, coming up October 4th through the 7th. Be a part of the excitement and help us build our matching fund now at materdeiradio.com. That's materdeiradio.com for Fall Share-a-thon 2016.
Welcome back to our in-person series. I'm Dina Marie, your host here, Monday through Friday mornings here, and as well as the evenings as we continue to reflect on the journey of our faith. I hope we are sharpening some of your Bible skills with our guest today, Dr. John Bergsma, joining me by phone today. He'll be here in person over the weekend at St. Cecilia Catholic Church. You can visit him online. I was just back on his website, and it'll pop up and ask if you'd like to get updates on what's happening with Dr. John Bergsma, some of his latest resources. John, BERGSMA.com is the website, and our thanks to Ave Maria Press for the last two books, the one, Bible Basics for Catholics, and now the New Testament Basics for Catholics. John, I want to ask you a little bit about the Jubilee year. We are in a big Jubilee year of mercy, as proclaimed by Pope Francis. You've studied the year of Jubilee in ancient times. Can you give us a little sense of what this Jubilee really means for us as Catholics?
Sure. Yes, it's really quite beautiful. The practice in ancient Israel was that on a cycle of every 50 years, they would sound a trumpet throughout the land, and on that 50th year, everyone who was sold for debt was freed from their servitude, and all land that had been sold away again to pay for debt was released, and so everyone was restored to their own family and to their own property. And that was just a tremendous experience of liberation for the people of Israel, and really the restoration of family love and family bonds. And those themes continue for us in Christ. We read, for example, in Luke 4, that at our Lord's first sermon in Nazareth, and this would be Luke 4:17 and following, our Lord actually turned to the prophet Isaiah, where the prophet Isaiah predicted somebody anointed with the Spirit who would proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, which was really the Jubilee year. But the Jews at that time were already expecting that a Messiah would come back who would proclaim a year of Jubilee that would free people not from their monetary debt, but from the debt of sin, and from bondage to the evil one, to Satan. And we actually found Dead Sea Scrolls, for example, that had these prophecies in them that the Jews were familiar with, expecting the Messiah to free them from sin and from Satan. And so it's interesting, Dina Marie, when we read in Luke 4 that after Jesus preaches in Nazareth and says that he's come to fulfill the prophet Isaiah, he follows that up in the next chapters by forgiving people's sin, that's freeing us from the bondage of sin, and also through exorcism, casting out demons so that people are free from the bondage to Satan. So in the church's ministry, we experience liberation all the time, and the confessional is the great Jubilee sacrament, because the confessional both frees us from sin and it also frees us from the bonds that Satan has on us. Because when we confess our sins and get absolved of them, it's like there's no handhold that Satan can get on us anymore. Our sins are where Satan gets a grip on us. And if we don't have those sins on us anymore, we're like slick. And there's nowhere for him to grab onto us. He just, his grip slips off of us because we've been purified in that sacrament. So it's interesting that in this Jubilee Year of Mercy, Pope Francis has placed the sacrament of confession or reconciliation right at the center of the Year of Mercy, and so appropriately, because that really is, in a special way, the sacrament of liberation.
Yeah. How have you been encouraging your students and others to approach this Jubilee? We still have a few more months to enjoy as we get to November. We can still, I think, continue to take time to really enjoy these graces. How should we respond?
Yes. I think one of the things that we can do is, in our last remaining time, again, take advantage of the sacrament of reconciliation. I try to take advantage of that sacrament on a weekly basis, but whatever you're able to do, whatever is available in your local community, take advantage of reconciliation for sure. Make a good confession, but then also one of the themes of Jubilee is family building. You know, the mercy of God restores family, and probably the primary parable that characterizes the Year of Mercy is the parable of the prodigal son who is restored to his father. And of course, Pope Francis has put that right at the front of the year as well. But that's a great parable because it shows how the restoration of family is part of mercy. So things that we can do in this Year of Mercy, Dina Marie, that strengthen the love and reconciliation between family members would be very good. So maybe acts of forgiveness, giving up grudges, apologizing for sins that we've committed against family members. Those would be wonderful things to do in this Year of Mercy. Maybe there's somebody that we're estranged from that we need to send a letter or have a phone call and try to heal some wounds within our family. Those would be good things. And then welcoming people into the family of God through evangelization, that is something that we could definitely do during this Year of Mercy. That would be so appropriate. So getting involved in things like, say, the St. Paul Street Evangelization National Apostolate, which, you know, encourages folks and trains folks how to, say, pass out rosaries in public and talk to people about the Catholic faith in public. Those are great things to be involved in during this year.
Right. Dr. John Bergsma with us again, and the latest book that we have through Ave Maria Press, New Testament Basics for Catholics. You can visit him online, johnbergsma.com. Also visit him at St. Cecilia Parish. John, what are you going to be bringing for this inspirational parish mission coming up this weekend?
Well, I have two wonderful opportunities to talk at St. Cecilia's. We're going to be talking first of all about the Dead Sea Scrolls. And a lot of people are fascinated with the scrolls because they're curious and they're exotic. You know, these ancient manuscripts that are well over 2,000 years old, some of them. It's so amazing. And so we're going to talk about where the Dead Sea Scrolls were discovered and how, etc. But then we're going to actually read them. And what they show us, Dina Marie, is a slice of Jewish life from about the time of our Lord's ministry. And what's so interesting is the Jews that left us the Dead Sea Scrolls were part of a holiness group called the Essenes. It was a kind of a sect of Judaism. They were so, in so many ways, they anticipated the Christian church. They had things that were similar to baptism, things that were similar to Eucharist, and we can see how our Lord, through the Holy Spirit, was preparing these Jews, even before the coming of Jesus, to be able to understand his message and preparing them to to form the new covenant community that we call the church. And I think that when Jesus came, a lot of this branch of Judaism, a lot of them did convert and enter into the church. I think several of the apostles were part of this group. And so we're going to learn more about our Catholic faith by looking at the Dead Sea Scrolls. And then my second talk this weekend, Dina Marie, is going to be on the Psalms. And I'm going to do a special thing, since it's still the Year of Mercy. We're going to look at mercy in the Psalms. Few people know that the word mercy is almost the most common term in the Psalms. There's only four other words, and they're very basic words, that occur more often than the word mercy in the Psalms. And so we're going to ask the question, why is that? And what do the Psalms mean by mercy? You know, does it mean just letting people off the hook, or does it mean something richer than that? And of course, we're going to find that it is much richer than that. And we'll look at some specific Psalms that talk about mercy, and hopefully we'll come away with a sense of why the Psalms really help us in this Year of Mercy to enter more deeply into the heart of God.
Okay. From Franciscan University of Steubenville, Dr. John Bergsma with us, and he will be with you, I pray, at St. Cecilia's Catholic Church. Do contact the church. They do ask for you to make a RSVP. The program begins at 9:30 a.m. I get there a little bit early if you can on Saturday, October 8th, and then the Dead Sea Scrolls, the Book of Psalms, being presented by Dr. John Bergsma. So great to be able to have you here. Before you come out to St. Cecilia's, we'll pray for your safe arrival here and then head back home with your wife and 8 kids. So keep up the great work there at Franciscan University. And John, would you please help us close this time in prayer?
Absolutely. Let's go to the Father now. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Heavenly Father, we're just grateful for this time that we've had to share about your word and to share about the beauties of our faith. This morning, we pray that everyone listening, whether live or by rebroadcast, would just be blessed in the remaining weeks of this Year of Mercy. Stir up our hearts that we can draw deeper to you through Scripture and through the sacraments. Ultimately, Lord, so that we may enjoy your presence forever and ever in heaven with the Father and the Son and the Spirit, and may we bring as many with us as we can to share in that eternal joy. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen.
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 Thank you, John. God bless you and your family, all of the community at Steubenville, and we'll pray for your safe arrival here over the weekend. Peace be with you.
Thanks so much, Dean and Marie. See you this weekend.
Thank you. Again, johnbergsma.com is his website, johnbergsma.com. Thanks to Ave Maria Press for all of their work in publishing some of these latest books. And our thanks to Franciscan University for giving John an hour break so he can come on the program and be with us today. Learn more about upcoming events such as the Parish Mission being hosted by St. Cecilia on our website at materdeiradio.com. As we do come to a close today, I'll close with these words, tweeted by Pope Francis, who says, "How beautiful would it be to leave the world a better place than the way we found it." St. Francis and St. Clair, pray for us. I'm Dina Marie, your host of In Person on Mater Dei Radio, KBVM and KMME. May you continue to be a blessing in the world today.
You've been listening to In Person with Dina Marie, produced through the facilities of Mater Dei Radio in Portland, Oregon. For more about this program and the morning drive, visit us online at materdeiradio.com. That's materdeiradio.com. Praise be Jesus Christ, now and forever. Amen.